So tonight we're speaking about the last of the three, Hachzara, which is in some ways the most common. So Hachzara is what it sounds like, returning. It's returning food to the fire. Now, it's not what you think. It's not taking food out of your fridge and putting it back on the fire. It's actually food that was on the fire going into, coming into Shabbos. At some point, you took it off, and now you want to put it back on.
Right.
So that's Asur Midir Rabbana. Obviously, if you're cooking something, that's Asur D'Oraisa. So for example, if my food's raw, and I took it off the fire, and now I put it back on, I've just cooked it, because it wasn't going to cook off the fire. So by putting it back on, that's called cooking. That would be Asur 100%. But we'll see there are certain conditions that have to be met to allow Hachzara, and then we'll see what about practically taking food out of the fridge. So the first thing is, why is Hachzara Asur? Why is it Asur to put food... I took the chant off. That's Lemaisa, the case where 99% of the time you'll ever encounter Hachzara is, let's say, Friday night, chant smells good, and you want to taste. You know, that's no shame. No shame in that. You want to taste the chant. So you take it off, and now you want to put it back. So why should that be Asur? So this is a machlokas Rishonim. It's very important. Rashi on the Mishnah comments, Lo machzirin, in source number one, he says, B'Shabbos, why? The mechzi kimavashel. Mechzi kimavashel means it looks like cooking. But don't worry, it looks like you're cooking. You're putting a pot on a fire. Right? That looks like cooking. Now, it's unclear if this means, and someone's going to look at that like a Maris Ayin type of looks like cooking, and therefore someone might come to cook on their own, or it just means, no, they assured this type of activity because it's so similar to cooking. So either way, mechzi kimavashel, that's option number one. There's Rashi, and the Ran is also this opinion.
Is that lashon? Is that language used in one context or another to be synonymous with
Maris Ayin?
Yeah.
No, not that I'm aware of. No. So that's why it's pretty unique to this Mexican mavashel. So it's hard to know what they mean. You know, because you say, well, it looks like cooking. So it looks like cooking to me. Or it looks like cooking to the guests who came over to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Tosfos, they don't come out and say this explicitly, but it's pretty clear from a number of Tosfos, and this is just one Tosfos that comes up where they're describing Hachzara. If let's say I took the food out of this pot and I transferred it to another pot, and I want to put it back.
Mm-hmm.
Tosfos, just where it's on the line, says, Lo asi lichtuye aval b'mecham achesh hukar asi lichtuye, right? You might come, this is a throwback to the Hatmana in Shehiyah days, Shema yechate begechalim, you might come to stoke the coals, right? So Tosfos kind of assumes there's one reason for all these Isurim Durabanan, and that's Shema Yechat Becham. You might stoke the coals, what you pointed out is a problem of Havara. You're going to increase the flame. You're going to kindle the flame and make it bigger. So again, Tosfos says, because you're going to put this pot back on the fire, and then you're going to say, wait, I just tasted it, maybe it needs to cook a little more, I might need to increase the flame, or something like that. Now, even if it is Shema Yechat, it should be noted that it's still a little bit stricter than Shehiyah, because the rules of Hachzara are stricter. So remember, Hachzara, we had a machlokas in the Gemara between Chananya and the Chachamim. If it was cooked a little, you're allowed to leave it on, and you don't even need garaf or katam. You don't need to either remove the coals or cover the coals. So by Hachzara, everyone agrees that you need some sort of you're going to need garaf or katam. I'm sorry, I guess I didn't make it up. You'll share? No, I don't mind.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to share. Sorry. Okay. So, yes.
One of the concerns would be that you take it off and you leave it too long. It's cooled down. Now you throw it back on. And now you are perhaps doing Bishach and Bishach. I mean, without those shilas. But I would think that something...
So it's a fair point. So basically, what you have to break down is the two types of food. If it's dry food, so we know there's ein bishul achar bishul by dry food, right? And therefore, and obviously, practically, that's why we take food out of the fridge. We'll see.
Right, but obviously, there's going to be a lot of examples.
Soup or chon or a liquidy food.
Yeah.
So we know. So we'll actually. So when we get to the tanaim, which is on the next page, we'll come back to that point because is there bishul achar bishul by liquid? We'll touch on that. Then, and hopefully it'll address your point, but it's a fair point that it could, theoretically, Chazal could have said, well, we're concerned you might cook.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you don't see that concern, meaning, we're not concerned you're going to cook. We assume everyone knows what cooking is. So cooking's usher.
Uh-huh.
So we're not going to usher cooking. But stoking the coals, we don't stoke coals, we don't cook with coals, so we're not used to it, but apparently, it was a very, subconscious activity. Like you'd walk by a fire and you might just, you know, you'd see the coals are dying and you would do it without even thinking. Cooking is sort of, you think about it. So,
well, for us, if you walk up, if you're cooking, you're adjusting the flame.
Right.
You're simulating your soup, your whatever it is.
Right.
You're constantly adjusting the
right.
flame.
You right. have to stoke coals. It's a little easier. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're jumping right into Hatsara, but are we going to define when that occurs? In other words, not just why is it prohibited, but in other words, what is actually removing from the...
So, excellent. So that's a perfect lead-in. As you can see, the next one is, when is Hachzara prohibited?
Oh, sorry.
Perfect.
I wasn't looking at that.
Perfect. That's the best lead-in ever. I didn't pay him for that, I promise. So this is another... This is another interesting machlokas rishon, because the Gemara in Source 3 says, Machzirin afilu b'shabbos. You could do Hachzara... Even on Shabbos. What does that mean, even on Shabbos? Not so much. What does it mean, even on Shabbos? And again, Rav Ravosh Yisavar, Af Machzirin Afilu B'Shabbos. You could even return food to the fire on Shabbos. So Rashi says, what does that mean, even on Shabbos? Machzirin Afilu B'Shabbos B'Yom HaMacharas. That means on Shabbos day. Not only could you return food Friday night, you might have thought only Friday night, because it's right. It's very clearly connected to leaving the pot on the fire. Friday night, I took it off, I quickly put it back on. But maybe Shabbos day. It would be usher. So the Gemara tells you can even return food on Shabbos day. But Tosfos is not happy with that. And Tosfos here is a wild chiddush. Tosfos says, if you look at the first one, the Ka'amar b'Gemara l'divrei ha'omer machzirin machzirin afilu b'Shabbos, the Gemara goes on to tell you that you could return even on Shabbos. Mashma de'ikra plukta havi b'chol. The main machlokes of hachzara in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you know when that is? On chol, before Shabbos. During the weekday. What?
No, meaning Friday afternoon?
Friday afternoon, right. Exactly. Hachzara applies, Tosfos says, on Friday afternoon.
But that's not, I mean, that's direct contradiction to what, I mean, the words directly of the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara says, afilu b'Shabbos.
Right.
Even on Shabbos. It doesn't say...
But what's the even on? Meaning, if I say you can do something even on Shabbos... I'm implying that there was another time we were talking about, and I'm extending it to Shabbos as well. Right?
So it almost sounds like you have to take it off before and put it back on, and then you can continue to do that on Shabbos. Because if you're continuing an activity,
right?
You're saying, well, I did it before Shabbos, so therefore I can do it on Shabbos.
Well, I think the way Tosfos is reading the Gemara, I think the common way to understand is that if I say Machzir, you can even do Hachzara on Shabbos. Right? So it implies that we were... In the Mishnah, because the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about Hachzara some other time. And the Gemara is extending that Mishnah and say, even on Shabbos you're allowed to do that.
Right.
So when was that other time?
Well, you know, I'm sorry if I missed it, but on Yontif, if the reason I can't put it back on has to do with something of stoking coals,
right.
Then I'm not worried about Bishul. Right, I'm worried about stoking.
So on Yontif, you're allowed. Right, so that's an interesting question. How these things relate to? We usually assume these things don't relate to Yontif because you're allowed to cook.
Right.
Now you might say, well, I'm going to stoke coals, but the answer is that you're allowed to do anything that's ochel nefesh or tzorche ochel nefesh. All
right.
So even stoking the coals would be mutter on Yontif.
So what would I feel be talking about?
So Rashi says there's a distinction between the night and the day, and it's talking about the day. So it's only on Shabbos. Tosfos, I'm sorry, Harry, did you want to...
It seems that Tosfos is making a direct contradiction, you know.
Right. But I think Tosfos is getting it from the Afilu, is an extension of something, and we only know of Shabbos, so the Shabbos and Chol, so it must be Chol. So probably not Tuesday, so Tosfos is going to limit it to a short time before Shabbos. Well, we'll see what Tosfos says. Tosfos explains, when is that time? Va'omeri, d'misha shelo yuchlu leharsiach mi ba'od yom, asur lahachzir. U'miyu b'shabes afilu roseach asur lahachzir l'man da'asar. Right. So he explains, no. How much time before Shabbos? The amount of time it would take that food to boil up. So I'm taking my cold soup out that I cooked on Thursday, and I want to heat it up for Friday night. So hachzara would only be mutter. Let's say it takes, I don't know, 25 minutes for it to boil. So I have to put that pot on before those 25 minutes. Because within 25 minutes, that would be aser. Even if it was hot, but I took it off the fire, Tosfos says, it would be aser to put back. Hachzara, that's hachzara. Unless you fulfill certain conditions. You need garfakatum, etc., etc. And so that's what Tosfos goes on to say. So this is a unique shita of Tosfos. that you have an Isser of Hachzara on Erev Shabbos. So Rav Willig likes to point out, he thinks this is Tosfos L'shitasam, because again, we said, why is Hachzara prohibited? So we had two options, Mechzikim Vasha, looks like cooking, or Shameyachate. So Mechzikim, it looks like cooking, but I'm allowed to cook on Erev Shabbos. So who cares if what I'm doing looks like cooking?
Right.
I'm allowed to cook. But if it's Shameyachate, now Shameyachate on Erev Shabbos is mutter, but if I put it on so close to Shabbos, Tosfos is concerned, maybe I'm going to stoke the coals right when Shabbos begins, because the food's just starting to heat up. So Rav Willig thinks this is Tosfos L'shitasam. It has to be, these two opinions in Tosfos are linked in some level. The Ran quotes another unique shita on the opposite extreme. Kind of Rashi's kind of the mainstream here. Tosfos is one extreme, pretty machmir. The Ran quotes something from the Talmud Yerushalmi, which is extremely mekel. And the Ramban also quotes this Talmud Yerushalmi. So the Ran says in Source 5, "Umihu be Yerushalmi mashma de kol hani plugta." Lasnu elabisha silkon me al gabe kira me erev Shabbos velo hichzira nan shechashcha. When is the whole issue of hachzara apply? If you took the pot off before Shabbos starts, mm-hmm. and you want to put it back after Shabbos started. Shabbos starts at 6 o'clock, so you pick the pot up at 5:40, and 6:05 you want to put it back. But, and they quote the Yerushalmi, I just want to read this, and then we'll go the Garcin and Hassam. If I took it off on Friday, I put the pot back all Friday. Right? If I took it off Friday night, I could put it back on Shabbos also. But if I took it off during the day, and then Kiddush Olav Hayom, Shabbos started, right? Shabbos began, and I'm still holding it. Then Rav Simon by today, B'shem Rav Oshia, and Minichu Asur Tatlo. Then it depends if I put it down or not, as we'll see the Tanai Hachzara. So the Ran, it's a very limited view of Hachzara. It only applies to food that wasn't on the fire on Erev Shabbos. Mm-hmm. But, theoretically, let's say I put all my food on the fire on Erev Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Shabbos starts, take it off, put it on the fridge. And then the next day, I could heat up whatever I want. I don't need any of the Tanam, I don't need any conditions. I could put it right on the fire, many people say. It's a very unique sheet of the Ran. All three of these opinions make it into Shulchan Aruch, as we'll see in 1 second. Larry,
I want to sharpen my question from before.
Sure.
And that is, what constitutes removal so that this would all come into play? My wife said she learned something in Israel. You know, there's some little trick not to totally... Are we getting to that? Another intro again? Okay. I didn't turn it.
Two for two.
Okay.
Two for two. So before we get to what's...
Larry for
no. It's amazing.
We didn't
it's like a previous Gilgal. He learned this, and he's like, right. Something is, the stars are aligning. Before we get to the, yes?
I just wanted to ask, just to clarify, mm-hmm. So for Rashi's Shita, mm-hmm. if you have something that you take and put back on the fire a minute before Shabbos, you know, clearly not enough time for it to reach, you know,
right.
boiling point before Shabbos starts.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, that would be mutter.
For Rashi, that's mutter. Meaning that might be a question of Shehiya. Okay. Let's say it's a cold soup.
Right.
So it might be a problem of Shehiya. But let's say we assume that if it's Michael Ben Drusai or it's Garif HaKatum,
right.
we hold like Hananya. So that's fine. Let's say it's Garif HaKatum and I leave it on. No problem for Rashi.
Got it. So as long as it doesn't fall into those other categories, then from a Hafzara perspective, it's going to be okay.
Right. Right. Okay. Absolutely.
Now, of course, right. this assumes also that the fire could cook. That it's of a heat that's at
right. Point. So the truth is, exactly, if it's a fire that can't cook, like the food won't even reach out, so lettuce bow, so that's probably okay, according to all opinions.
Right.
Because the food's not really going to get hot. It's not even going to get cooked.
Right. So the modern-day warmers or the hot plates.
Okay, excellent. So we're going to have to touch on all these topics, and we'll see if we're able to touch on all the gadgets. Could be one, Rabbi Brand. We'll leave one or two for Rabbi Brand next week. To touch on, because there's now with the there's platas and then there's warming plates and warming drawers and so exactly good. We're gonna get to all this. So I just wanted to point out that in Shulchan Aruch all three opinions are quoted. In Source 6, Source 6, Reish Nun Gimel Sif Beis. So the Mechaber says Kira Shehi Grufu Ketuma. Right, you need Garif HaKatam. V'natal Akder Me'ala Afilu B'Shabbos. You took the pot off even on Shabbos. Mutar Lachzira Kozman Shehi Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. As long as you fulfill all the Tanaim. He doesn't mention Erev Shabbos, and he doesn't mention the Ran. basically sounds like Rashi. The mainstream approach, that Hachzara applies on Shabbos, regular Shabbos. Now, if you jump down a few lines, we'll come back to the Tanam in a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. We're in the middle of the Ramah. It says, V'yesh Omrim. V'yesh Omrim. And some say, a.k.a. the Ron quoting the Yerushalmi, some say that all these rules that Rebbetzin Leonard learned at some point, all these rules, those only apply if you took it off on Erev Shabbos and you want to put it back on Shabbos. But if you it was on there on Shabbos, so you took it off, you left it on the ground, you put it in the fridge, it doesn't matter. That's no problem. And we're making like that in our ovens, because they have the din of Akira. So that is a separate discussion. We rely on the Mekilin. That's the Ran. But the Ramah adds, remember the Ramah earlier said we rely on Hananya's opinion that you don't need gar fakatum once it's good. So again, the Ramah here is Mekil, but he says v'tov lahachmir. He quotes it. He says that's the minug where he was, but he says tov lahachmir. So it's been a little bit of a tumult on this. Generally, mainstream we don't like to rely on the Ran, but there were certain communities that relied on the Ran. Famously, Rav Soloveitchik in Boston relied on this Ran for the Baal Batim. In the community in Boston, but mainstream is, like the Ramah says, Tov L'Hachmer. Now, the Ramah takes us the other way. If you jump down one line, another Yesh Omrim. Yesh Omrim, to call you Samach L'Chashecha, it's close to dark, O Samach L'Baruch Hu, Shehu Kabbal Shabbos L'Didan, or it's close to Baruch Hu, meaning if, in an early Shabbos case, which is not so clear if we accept that line, Im Hu Samach Kol Kachshim, and it's not in HaKadera, Yesha L'Hartichum Bo Yom, if it's so close to Shabbos that the pot wouldn't have time to boil up, Dino Kamo B'Shabbos Atzmo, like Tosfos, right? Hachzara would be Aser. V'yesh mekilim b'zeh, but some are mekil like against tosos. V'aminik l'hakol, the minik is not to be mekil against tosos. Ak tov l'hachmer b'makom she'ein tzorach kol kach. But if it's not such an issue, you should be machmer. So it's not unusual actually that the Ramah quotes the most mekil and the most machmer. You know, he kind of gives you the two extremes. Shulchan Aruch is right in the middle. So we have the Ran in the Ramah tov l'hachmer, and we have the Tosfos also tov l'hachmer. If it's possible, if you're stuck, if you're in a gym, if it's a minute before Shabbos and you're not going to have dinner hot, so then you can be mekil. Mm-hmm. But if you have enough time to plan, obviously in a winter Shabbos it's a little trickier. Now we switch the clock, we have a little more time on Friday. So it definitely varies, but at least it's in Shulchan Aruch Tov L'Hachmir. Okay.
So it doesn't just go, I remember Rabbi Engel talked about this, about the idea of if you're right before Shabbos and that's the only time and you know, if you throw the cholent on like right before Shabbos, that's okay.
So putting the cholent on is not hachzara. That would be an issue of Shehiya. And when we talk about Jira, there's a heter called Kedera Chaisa, which is if you put a raw pot up right before Shabbos, so then we're not concerned that you're going to be mechate because it's not even going to cook tonight. It's going to only cook tomorrow. So that's the heter of Kedera Chaisa, a raw pot right before Shabbos. And in that situation, presumably, if you would do garuf akatum, meaning you would, let's say, in your crock pot, put a line it with tinfoil, right? So then, even without relying on Kedera Chaisa, that would also be mutter, because we know Chananya says, if it's cooked Michael Ben Drusai, you don't even need garuf akatum. If it's cooked one third or one half of the way, you don't even need to do garuf akatum. If it's not cooked one third, one half of the way, so the Shulchan Aruch says, according to Chananya, if you do garuf akatum, if you put some sign of heker there, you're good to go anyways. So either way, you're good to go. If you put up a raw pot, and certainly if you put a piece of tinfoil in. But that's a heter and shia. Do you want to say? No? Okay. So we have svaras for hachzara. What is the reason? Rabbi said either Mexican mevashal or shemei echate. Then we had three potential times. What does it mean, afilu? Either it just means on Shabbos regular, like the Shulchan Aruch says, or it says even a little bit on Erev Shabbos, like Tosfos, which the Ramah quotes Tov L'Hachmir, and you have the Ran, quoting from the Yerushalmi, that if the food's on the fire when Shabbos starts, you're good to go the rest of Shabbos, even if you put it back in your fridge. So now what are the Tanaim? There are, known as the Tanaim, the conditions to allow Hachzara. What are the conditions? So the Shulchan Aruch, and along with the Ramah, everyone here is Ashkenazi, so you know, we don't have to wiggle out for Sardim, but certainly you have the, along with Rama. So again, starting from the beginning in source 6, Kirishi Grufu Ketuma, V'nata Akdera Me'ela Afilu B'Shabes, Mutur La'achzira, Kolz Man Shehiro Sachas. A, it has to be boiling. How hot? We'll see in a minute. But it has to still be hot. It cannot have cooled down, certainly cannot have cooled down completely. We'll see where, for the, here actually Sfarim or Mormachmer, it has to still be really hot. We'll see Ashaz or Mekel. Then for Oda B'Yadu, it has to still be in your hand. Now that doesn't mean you have to be holding it in midair, even if I put it down, so with my hands on it. V'lohi niecha gabi karka, but you can't put it on the floor. You could put it, let's say, on the counter or something. V'day to lahachzira, and when you took it off, you had in mind that you wanted to return it to the fire. Okay. V'daf gal gab avalosocha, so you have to put it on top, not within. So, just if you turn the page, I just photocopied from the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chaser, because he has it laid out very nicely. The five tenam, the five conditions. So number one is daito lahach. So you have to have that in mind when you return it. Number two is shelo hiniach as a kli klal eli achzik v'yodi. You have to hold on to it, even if you put it on the table. You should keep a hand on it. Number three has to be garif akatum. The flame should be covered. It's dated. If you've seen the parentheses, he says, "How do you cover the flame through asbestos?" I don't think anyone does that anymore. They just recently reprinted
the volume.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Number four is that, and number four wasn't in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's intuitive because we've mentioned it before. The item has to be mevushal kol tzarcho, it has to be fully cooked. Because if it's not fully cooked, so then by putting it back on the fire, I'm causing it to cook on Shabbos. I'm cooking on Shabbos. And we spoke about, remember, in the original shiur, whether elevating the cooking, right? What if I go from Michael Ben Drusai to Mevushal Kol Tzarcho? Is that Asur D'Oraisa, Asur D'Rabbanan? But it's certainly going to be prohibited to if it's not fully cooked. Now, just because I like my cholent really, you know, Shabbos morning, that doesn't mean it's not fully cooked at 11 o'clock Friday night. It might be fully cooked. I just like when it really gets, you know, I don't know, everyone has different, you know, Al Tam V'Reachin Lehit V'Kech, as they say in Hebrew, you know, some people like it dry, some people like it watery. But the point is, the food has to be fully cooked. And number five is that it has to still be Cham B'miktsas, because he's quoting the Ramah, and the Ramah, that's in source 8, where I underlined, he said, V'nagu l'hagol b'zeh imlon et starin l'gamri. It didn't, as long as it didn't cool down completely. Mm-hmm. So that means it's a little warmer than room temperature. Basically, it's still warm enough that if I would give it to you, you would say, oh, that's a warm food. It's not a room temperature food, it's warm. Even if it's not yad so lettuce, but 110, 115, 120, whatever the shear is, but it's still warm. Now, everyone's bothered. What do you mean? Mm-hmm. I could take a liquid, a soup, that's lo nitztanin lagamre. It's warm. And I could put it back on the fire? Isn't that cooking? So, from here, almost everyone says, you see that the Ramah holds, like those we've shown him, that by, we say, ein bishal achar bishal, even by liquids. Midoraisa, we say, ein bishal achar bishal, even by liquids. Or else, how are you allowed to put it back on the fire? You're cooking it.
I understand. In the third condition, it says, she'ha'esh she'al gabeha yachzir atakli. So it's already on the fire?
No, she'al gabeha yachzir atakli, that you will return it on, that you will. No,
meaning
no.
It's not on like the periphery of like the flame somewhere.
Tiyem echusa is the key word there. That has to be covered.
Right. It's not that you're taking it off in order to return it back on. It's that you're taking it from a place that is not, has no contact with the fire.
Well, wherever it is, leaving aside how it got there, let's say I did shahiyah even on an open flame, in a case that it was mutter, but now I took it off, I can't put it back on an open flame. You have to put it back on a flame that's covered. Let's say a blech would be an example, or we'll see in a minute, modern day electric
to be clear, the place that you're taking it from is not a place of fire. When you're taking it,
so it's not so relevant for Hazara where you're taking it from. It's relevant for shahiyah, because how did it get there in the first place, right?
Uh-huh.
Meaning, so let's say we pass on Chananya, so even if it was on an open fire, it should be mutter. Right? As long as it was cooked K'maychel Ben Drusai. So you left it on an open fire, but now I can't put it back on an open fire.
Right.
I have to put it back on a, because we said HaChazar was more Machmir, has to be Garuf HaKatam. So it has to be covered. So, and that's important for source 9 in 1 second, but source 8, this Ramah is important. Because again, we say, Ein Bishalach HaMishal Afilu B'davar Lach. Rav Shachter likes a certain idea from the Eglei Tal. The Eglei Tal is the Sakh Chav Rebbe. The Shem Yishmuel has on Chumash. That's a lot of Chassidus. So his father was the Avnei Nezer. He wrote the Shas and Tshuvas Avnei Nezer, which is a very comprehensive set of Shas and Tshuvas. And he also wrote a very important sefer in Hilchos Shabbos called the Eglei Tal. Tal meaning Lamed Tes Melachos. Unfortunately, he did not get through all of them. He only got through maybe 11 or 12. But either way, we have it on Bishul. So he explains, why is it theoretically, why is it that there's Ein Bishul Achar Bishul V'Davar Lach? Meaning, buy chicken, you take raw chicken, you cook it, mm-hmm. there's clearly, you can't re-cook it. Mm-hmm. Can't, right? But if you assume that what makes liquid cooked is just reaching a certain temperature, so I boil it, I cool it off. I boil it, I cool it off. Why is it that we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul V'Davar Lach? So, what the Eglei Tal explains, is that just like by chicken, you've made a permanent roshem on the food, you made a permanent change to this food, mm-hmm. so too by liquid, for example, let's say I boil up a soup, mm-hmm. a chicken soup. So it's not water anymore, it's soup, right? It has a different color, different texture, right? It's different. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. The chiddush of the Eglei Tal is that, but by plain water, you would say Bishul Achar Bishul, because I boil water, and then I put it in the fridge and it cooled down. Mm-hmm. It's the same exact thing. You wouldn't even know this was cooked. My soup, you know I cooked it. Mm-hmm. My chalent, you know I cooked it.
So there's a physical change, doesn't make it different.
Then Ein Bishul Achar Bishul.
Then Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. There's a chemical change.
Okay. Yes, exactly. If there's a chemical change.
Then you say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul because you've made a change. You can't really.
Yes, in scientific terms, that's basically what the Eglei Tal is saying. The only difference is that Midrabanan, by Davar Lach, we assume there is Bishul Achar Bishul, but by chicken, let's say just a piece of schnitzel, there's no Bishul Achar Bishul.
So is Eglei Tal reading that distinction into the Ramah? Would you say that here the Ramah wouldn't be applying to water? He would only be applying it to soup or to...
Yeah, it sounds like he would apply that to the Ramah. Because everyone's working with this Ramah. Everyone says, you see the Ramah assumes. This is the Machlokas Rishonim about Bishul Achar Bishul mm-hmm. by Davar Lach.
They're trying to give a rationale for the Ramah.
Exactly. So, yeah. And all those Rishonim, but they're particularly interested in it because the Ramah Paskin that way. So again, it appears that the Ramah would say, even if it cooled off to below Yad Soledesbo, since, and also needs a little bit of explaining, but since it's still clear that it was heated up at one point, so putting it back on the fire is okay. Mm-hmm. Even though there's midrabanan bishul achar bishul by liquid, here will be makel because it's still clear that it was heated up. It still has some imprint of that heat, and therefore you could throw it back on the fire. So, coming back to our chalom case, right? When you're hopping a nibble of the chalom Friday night, so you can take it off the crock pot. You have to keep it in your hand, at least one hand, on it. Shouldn't put it on the floor, which we don't do anyways. They didn't have counters. I don't think they had counters in kitchens. I'm not sure when they invented the counter. But it probably wasn't in the days of the Gemara. So you put it on your table or on your counter. You take some chalent. And then, again, when you took it off, you had in mind that you wanted to put it back afterwards. As long as it's fully cooked, that's a big problem. Because let's say you take some chalent, you go, whoa, this is raw. Now you're stuck. So if don't do this at home unless you know your chalent's fully cooked. And then you put it back on the fire. Again, your crock pot has to be garfa katam here. For shahia, it doesn't have to be garfa katam. But for hachzara, you would need garfa katam. So that would basically mean putting a piece of tinfoil lining the crock of the pot. I don't know, the metal part where you put it. You know what I'm talking about. You put it right there, you put a piece of tinfoil, you line it. Ideally, it can also cover the knob because we adjust the flames through the knob. So if you cover the knob, also that would be ideal with that tinfoil, and then you could do your hachzara on Friday night. That's how you work with the crock pot. Other than that, we usually don't leave things on the fire to take off to put back on. It just doesn't happen.
Now, would there be an issue, so you have your crock pot, you just take the cover off and the taste of all still in the crock pot?
It's an excellent question.
Oh, it's raw, but you haven't done anything.
So that's an excellent question. There is an issue called magus. Magus is stirring. So stirring is considered, so if you stir something that's still on the fire, mm-hmm. that's considered to help the bishul process because it circulates the heat and circulates the flavor. I'm not going to explain the science of it or, and if it's correct or whatever, but the Gemara assumes that that's what it is, and that's the halacha, that to stir something on the fire would be usur. So, to stick your spoon in the chalent, you're not stirring it, but when you take it out, you're doing some minimal level of stirring. So that would be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's cooked or not?
Whether it's cooked or not, even if it's still cooking.
So it's
yeah, I think we're I have to check. If it's mevushel kol tzarko, I think we're still machmer amegis, because it's mitzamek v'yafalo.
So it's almost better to...
It's better to take it off.
These rules of
unless it's you have to follow these rules.
Right, of follow these rules.
Absolutely. Oh, unless it's raw, and then you're going to get stuck.
It's raw,
yeah. So if you're not sure if it's fully cooked, you know, if you threw it on a minute before Shabbos, it might not be fully cooked after dinner Friday night. Probably safer not to take a taste. You know, if you put it up early, I think it's usually cooked 6, 7, 8 hours later to do that.
If somebody. The other case, other than chalent, I was thinking of in terms of tzar being an issue would be, I guess, either before hot water urns, or if you don't use hot water urns, if you're keeping boiling water,
yes, left. Exactly.
So for the egletalites, you'd have to be careful that it doesn't drop in temperature.
To below yatsa lettuce bubble.
Right. Are there other shita who read the Ramah as saying that this...
Yes, some people... Water? So what's interesting about the egletal is, the egletal says this idea, and then at the... And I'm not sure, after the egletal or later, he went back and he had some, like hashmatos, like some additions or emendations that he wanted, and he rejects his own idea. But then all the achronim afterwards are like, no, that's such an awesome idea. Why would you reject it? So a lot of achronim are like, there are achronim that say, no, ein bishal achar bishal padavar lach, even by water. Even by water. So that would be another nafkamina. Before hot water urns, hot water pumps, that's how you had hot water on Shabbos. You left a kettle on the blach. So blechs are even more complicated than our heating apparatuses, we'll see in a minute, because with the blech is here's your blech, here's your fire, so the blech spreads the heat, but it's like unclear, could you put it right here, you're only allowed to use different parts of the blech, moving pots on the blech, it's a little more complex. Our platas, we'll see in a minute, which is source 9 actually, are basically, there's a heating element that kind of runs throughout, so maybe the edges aren't as hot, but basically it's even distribution everywhere. Source 9, Ritzvi Pesach Frank, he was the Rav in Yerushalayim almost 100 years ago, maybe less, 80 years ago. So he already had the shaila in his day. What's the story with a plata? What's the deal with a plata? Is that considered garfa katam or not? Why? Well, some platas get very hot, but why would it be considered garfa katam? Non-adjustable. Many platas. Plata I have at home is non-adjustable. Mm-hmm. Just plug it in, mm-hmm. and it gets hot.
Yeah.
So there's no concern for Shema Yechate. You can't be Mechate. It's just hot. It's either on or off. Mm-hmm. So we're not concerned that we're going to unplug it from the wall. So he has this Shaila here. Hashela b'tanur chashmali, shehu asoy kulo mimateches, made all of metal, v'hu plata, pshuta, shebepsicha zerim hachashmal, when you plug it into the wall, the electricity begins to flow. Nase cham kivor veich. It gets very, very hot. V'alzeh mamid makadero misbashel. And you could put a pot on there and it'll cook. Im yesh lazeh din grufu ketuma le'inyan lahasho soleh b'shabes. Does that have the status of garfa katam? Mm-hmm. His shayla was particularly about shehiyah. Can you leave a pot on there? She'en tzarech lifor salaplata kadeh lahafsik b'en akadero laplata. Or would you need to put something else on top of it to then make it garfa katam? So he says it depends. Is it that I can't adjust it, or is it that I need a hecker? And if it's normal, the normal way to use a plata is just to put pots on it, so then maybe I need a hecker. But he assumes not. He says, "Hinei ladati yesh atzali latera." I think you could be mekel mishum devetanur chashmali, and this is the key. In ein asharut lahagdil or lahaktin et koach hachom, because you can't adjust the heat to make it bigger or smaller. Lo shayach klal chitoy veikar iser shehia hu mishum gezera shamiyachata. The whole concern is shamiyachata by shehia. We'll come back to chazara in a minute, right? And therefore, that's considered garfa katam. So at least we know the status of a plata is garfa katam. That's pretty much accepted by everyone. So A, leaving food on a plata going into Shabbos, not a problem. And B, hachzara, you at least have the garfa katam part taken care of if you would want to put something on a plata. Okay. What about taking food out of your refrigerator on Shabbos morning to heat it up? Period. That's practically where what it comes down to. So this machlokas has its roots actually in comes from a stira in Shulchan Aruch. In the same siman in Rishon and Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Gimel says the following: Hamashkin baboker, you got up in the morning. Your food is getting burnt, drying out. That was left on the fire. You're nervous it's going to burn by the time you get back from shul. So yachol lahasir l'neich kedera yeshana reikanis al pi hakira. What you could do is you could take it off, put like another pot there, kind of to, you know, put a greater distance between it and the fire. Then put it on top of the empty pot. But what do? You have to make sure that you didn't put down that first pot and that it's still hot before you put it on top of the new empty pot. So it sounds like from there that you always need the Tanai Hachzara. You always need to hold on to it. So if I want to get something from my fridge, I wasn't holding on to it all night, I was sleeping. But in Sif Hey, the Shulchan Aruch says the following: Mutar lazeis al pi kederes chamin b'Shabbos, tav shoshana special meyav Shabbos kol tzorko. You're allowed to put on top of a cooking pot of food. Meaning, I have a pot that's cooking on the oven right now, on the kira right now, and now I want to put another piece of food on top of that. As long as it was fully cooked before Shabbos, kigon pan dish u kayotzi behen. Some type of barek, I think. So you put that on top. L'chamaman, l'fish ain't derech bishul b'kach, because that's not the normal way to cook, by leaving this food on top of my cholent that's already on the fire. Aval l'hatman tachas b'kadim, agav b'mechem v'adim. You can't do hatmana. So the question is it the stira? Am I allowed to take something out and put it on top of this pot? Or no, I have to be holding it the whole time, like in Source 10, in Sif Gimel. So, there are two tirutz. The first one is the Prima Gadim quoted by the Ber Halacha. And then he says, no, you missed the key element. If you notice, in Sif Gimel, what was in that pot that you were putting as a barrier? Shulchan Aruch is very clear. What?
Nothing.
Reikanis. It was empty. So if an empty pot is not really such a helpful demarcation, so to speak, on the fire. And therefore, I also need to hold on to it the whole time. Because it's still theoretically directly on the fire, it's just a little bit higher up right now. There's just a little more airspace. But there's nothing that really makes it a lesser form of cooking, it's just further away from the flame. As opposed to in Sif Hei, where I'm putting it on top of another pot that's cooking. I'm putting it on top of my crock pot. So, that's pretty machmir distinction. You would only be allowed to take something out and put it on top of another pot. So you would have to do all your heating on top of your on top of your crock pot, basically. Some people, I saw recently, that they've invented a new type of plata that actually is machmir, like this Prima Gadim. And what it is it's like a plata with a heating element, and then above that, there's like a little thing of water. And so it heats up the water, and then you put your food on top of that. It's also just like a metal thing. I don't even know if you could take the water in and out, but it heats up the water. So you have heating element, water, and then your food. So then you're fulfilling this Prima Gadim, because you're always putting your food back on top of a pot that has something in it.
Well, isn't that like those...
The kederblech.
A kederblech, that's what I'm talking about. Yes. The kederblech. So that comes from this opinion.
Right. So I thought one of the reasons for the kederblech was also that it became even, because the water being heated would even out across, as opposed to having...
That might be a practical benefit of it, but I think this is the halachic benefit of it, is this Prima Gadim.
Okay.
That was my understanding of it.
How is it fulfilled? Presumably the rationale of the Prima Gadim is that there's more of a heker involved in having something cooking on top of a crock pot than
yes,
having it cooking on top
100%.
Of
so many,
which this would seem to totally eliminate.
Exactly.
Right?
So many poskim are like, no, that's just a joke, because you don't even know there's water in there.
Right.
It doesn't even...
It
who
looks
knows?
Just like, much like the
it looks,
of wood on the other.
Exactly. So, in a Hanami, that many are okay against the Kederblech for this reason. because there's no difference. It's not like a.
Yeah. You could say that about the Platas, because some of the modern yeah. he looked like just the glass.
Good. So
I mean, at that point, you're starting to get so.
So we'll have to see. So we'll see what the difference is, because there, it's hard to really call that a Kedera Malaya, a full pot. It's a whole system that's set up like that. It's set up in that way.
Right, so you know exactly what it. I mean, it
you might, but I wouldn't know. I've never seen one, so I don't know if I would recognize it as being different from another one. When I see,
it's thick. I mean,
it's thick. So, yeah. But I'm not sure. Meaning, when I put my kugel on top of my chon to heat up, it's very clear that there's a chon there, and it's so.
Right.
This is the machlokas aposkim, but you might not even need it. The Magen Avraham has a totally different distinction. His distinction is v'yesh lomar davka tzli mutar litno lechachila al gabi kira grufa. Of a mevushal, usher lit no, agabe kira, afilu hucham, shembo mishum bishul, de gazrin, and shema yitain, alav, kichu kar, ve'en mutar elachazar. What's the distinction? Tzli, or what we'll call yavish, dry foods versus liquids. Mm-hmm. Dry foods, you can take out, that's what Sifhei is talking about. Dry foods, you could take that out of the fridge, theoretically, and just put it on the fire in a mutter form, right? Not directly on the fire, we'll see the other issues. But you could theoretically heat that up without all the tanaim, it sounds like. When do you need all those tanaim? If it's a liquid. So that's already a little more helpful.
The tanaim again, the ones that we discussed.
Yes. Meaning it has to still be in your hand. How is the food going to be in your hand from Friday night to Shabbos day when you want to heat it up? You don't want to leave your chicken heating all night. It's going to dry out.
Right.
So you put it in the fridge. But you're not holding it at that point. Right? You have to hold it.
Right.
So now it's not in your hand. So you don't have one of those tanaim. So what the Magen Avraham is suggesting is that no, in Sif Gimel, when you need the tanaim, that's if it's a soup. You know, a gravy. A liquid thing. So that you can't take out of the fridge and put it in the thing. But if it's dry...
I know, I must be missing something. So a tinfoil is a tinfoil, no matter what it has inside. Right? A little pan, a little something. Right? If there's a little gravy on the bottom, or if there isn't.
Well, I'm not going to get into that right now. If a little gravy versus a lot of gravy, but let's say a soup.
Well, let's say there's a teeny amount or an inch or two. What's the?
So that's a separate question in terms of, according to the Magen Avraham's distinction now, right? Again, right. What is the Magen Avraham's distinction? Is that dry things you can heat up?
Yeah.
Even after they've come out of the fridge, even though you haven't been holding it the whole time. Liquid things, you need all those tanaim always. You have to be holding it, etc. Now, how dry is dry is the question, right? Does that have to be bone dry? Meaning, can there be a little bit of liquid? That's an important shaila. So, Svardim are extremely making on this question. They say it goes by rove. Majority is food, solid, that's okay. That's extremely makel. Ashkenazim are not as makel. Ashkenazim generally assume it has to have, like, it depends if it's a significant or negligible liquid. Meaning, many, if it's a roast that comes with, like, a major gravy, so that's a significant liquid. If it's a chicken that just a little bit of oil drips off it, so that's, like, a negligible liquid. So I think that's a fairly common distinction between what's yavish and what's lach. And if it's, like, congealed, not if it's, like, a thick jelly, but let's say sometimes you get like those little pieces of like fat that are congealed. So if it's solid when you put it on, that's not a problem either because it goes by the time you put it on.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I don't know if I'm the only brain dead one.
No. It's fine.
My brain must be full today. Why are all the five conditions pertaining only to a liquid?
So again, they're working with the Stira and Shulchan Aruch.
Yes.
The Shulchan Aruch in Source 10,
yes.
Which is Siv Gimel,
yes.
Says that you need all the tanaim there, right? It says you could, right, my kugel's yeah. Burning, yes. Took it off, put an empty pot there, and put it on top.
Okay.
So it says, but you have to hold it the whole time.
Okay.
In Source 11, it says,
yes.
I could just take my kugel,
right.
And put it on top of a pot.
Right.
So what's the difference? So the Magen Avraham is saying, I'll tell you the difference.
Okay.
Source 10, it wasn't a kugel. Source 10 was a soup.
Right.
Source 11, that's a kugel. So a kugel, we're more makel because of the davar yavish. That.
Okay, yeah, keep going. I have to go back to 10.
Okay. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa has a chumra here. And this chumra is a little strange. He says, if you look on, in this page of Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, so in Chaf Hei he says, Ulam plata chashmali miyuchedes l'shabes, a plata or a chalon pot, whatever. Hamiyuedes l'shmor al chom hamaychel she'alel ve'ein regilin l'vash alel. We don't normally cook on it. V'gam iya shalah hagdiles means hachom. You can't adjust the heat. Eina teuna kisui nosaf. You don't need to cover it again, like the Har Tzvi said, right? Like Ratzvi Pesach Frank said, that's considered garfa katam. Umotur l'hachzir aleha esakli, and you're allowed to do hachzara on it, meaning take it off, put it back on. But it was on there. Not talking about taking it out of the fridge. You could do hachzara, meaning it was on there already. You could take it off and put it back on. V'hu sheyamale acharei shar hatanam hanizkarim, but you need all the other tanam. Aval ein litain aleha lechatchila b'shabes kedei resheish batavshel afilu hu mevushal kol tzarko afilu im kavanaso rak lafig tzinaso. But you should not do hanacha lechatchila, aka take it out of the fridge. You cannot take it out of the fridge and put it there. And if you look in footnote I base, the lo itiur ela hachzara velo litain aleha lechatchila. They only allowed hachzara, which is again something that was on the fire, taken off put back, but they didn't allow hanacha lechatchila, which is just initial placement. And if you take something out of the fridge, that's considered initially placing it. Bit of a chumrah. Why? What's the svar for the chumrah? Because, think about the first thing we said. Why is hachzara asar? Two reasons. Either shami echate, which is not shayach here. Mechzikim avasha. Looks like cooking. So Rav Willig, Rav Mordechai Willig, from YU, he is the sefer on Shabbos, called Am Mordechai. And so I photocopied two pages from it where he talks about Plata Chashmali. And in here he takes the Shmir Shabbos to town a little bit. Actually, Rav Neuwirth, the author of the Shmir Shabbos Chalchasa, wrote a Haskama to Rav Willig Sefer. And in it he comments, oh, thank you for your Ha'aros, I appreciate the things you pointed out. You know, Rav Willig says, okay, he says, I don't get it. Because we know the Mishnah Berurah says that if there's no concern for Shamei Echate, and there's no concern for Mechzikim Vashel, so everything should be fine. So what's the problem with a Plata? I don't get it. A Plata is better than Garfa Kadam. A Plata is better than the Tanai Hachzara. A Plata is a nothing. It says, I've never in my life seen anyone cook on a Plata. Anyone ever cook on a Plata?
There's a... Right.
I'm asking.
I'm just wondering, what happens if you did have a plata that has a thermostat?
Oh, okay. So that's significantly more complex.
You would, or if you do
that would not be garfa katam.
If you do garfa katam, so you line it with a tinfoil or something like that, does that make it the same as a plata?
Yeah. Oh, theoretically, if you do garfa katam, you should be okay. Like any other kira that requires garfa katam. So...
And some of these... These platas you can cook, just because people don't.
Oh, so he has a piece here where he comments on a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a tshuva, he has some ambiguous lashon, because his language is that, this would be on the second page in Na'am Mordechai, in the right-hand column, the third paragraph, the ones that begin, Vizel Lashon Tshuva Sigris Moshe, Al plata chashmali sham, im e f shal his bashal sham, az mutter lahamid kedera chama, im ein sham elam mida achas lachom. If it's efshar, impossible to cook there, then it's okay. But he points out that everyone took that as meaning if you don't cook there. And then he has a little bit of a back and forth. What did Rav Moshe really mean? Did he really mean efshar? Efshar sounds like you can't cook there, but if you can't cook there, it would be asur. So if you go to the second column, says v'ulai kavana se'igros Moshe in that paragraph there, the mikri derech bishulim efshal v'ashal Michael zeb plata zu after in regin lasoskin of a mutter l'haniach al plata im efshal v'ashal Michael after efshal v'ashal mayim sham. So he said maybe what Rav Moshe meant is it depends on the food. Meaning, I could put a kettle on the plata and it'll boil my water, but can I really cook chicken on the plata? Probably not. I'll probably just burn the bottom of it, and I don't know. I haven't experimented. Mm-hmm. If someone is interested and reporting back to us next week what happened when they tried cooking their chicken on the plata. So he thinks what he means is not if it's possible at all to cook on it, but if it's possible to cook this type of food on it. So whatever you're heating up, I'm heating up potato kugel. You have to fry a potato kugel. You can't, you can't cook a potato kugel on the plata. So that's what he suggests. But the key line, well, what's interesting is this might be a difference between Israel and here. Because in the Haskama, and he quotes it here, Rav Neumarth writes, well, I've seen some Sfardim that that cook on platas. So maybe in Israel, well, it's Mexican Lavash.
It probably depends on what you're making. Like, if you, I'm not 100%, but I mean, the platas that we have, it's just a standard one. You plug it in, it's the same temperature. Right. It's very hot, though.
Ours is very hot, too.
Like, you have to take stuff off because you're worried it's going to burn.
Well, you put, like, a pan and put the stuff on top of the pan just because it's too hot.
If you took a pan and, I mean, you can't do
and put oil, you could fry an egg there.
That's right, yeah, an egg. You can make an egg on there for sure.
So Rav Bullock says, you know what? It doesn't matter. You know why? Because, first of all, we're dealing with Davar Yavish here, so you're not, you know, it's Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. And if you look in the last paragraph of this piece, Ulefi Zeh, he says, B'medino Seinu, Shechem Duma, Ein Aderech Levashal Plata Klal Klal. He says, I don't know what they do in Israel. But Norman says, the Sfardim cook on the platas. I don't know what they do in Israel. He says, I know in this country, I've never seen anyone cook on a plata in my life. Lo Nira Kimavashal. It's not Mexican Mavashal. And the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes, says, if there's no Mexican Mavashal, and there's no Shemei Echat Begachalim, there's no problem. There's no problem.
One thing I would point out, I doubt that you could actually boil water in plata.
Really?
I mean, if you said that yatzo lettuce is...
I don't know, boil. You could reach yatzo lettuce, Bill. Let's say 150.
Okay.
Not boil.
You're
not boil.
Get up to 212.
No, you won't get up to 212, but yatzo lettuce, Bill, would be bishul. So,
right.
So it wouldn't matter if you got to 212. Okay. Yeah, I think you
good
could...
question. No, but for some reason, would you use it to cook? I mean, that's what I'm sort of getting to. Is,
right, so that's what Rav Willig saying, Chad and Rav Moshe.
Sure, but could you actually use it to cook?
That's what Rav Willig explains. He says, maybe Rav Moshe just meant the type of food that I'm heating up now, a chicken, a kugel, could I have really cooked that on my plata? But he says...
You could have burnt it.
Right, you could have burnt it. I don't know if it would have cooked through.
Yeah.
I that's my impression. I haven't tried it.
But the other question, I mean, for a soup, for example,
yes.
If I can't get that soup to boil it,
right.
On the plata, it should be fine from the perspective of...
No, because the yatzo lettuce bow. If it won't reach yatzo lettuce bow, it should be fine.
Right, but even from the basis of the fact that the concept of if it's not going to be able to change state anymore, so in Bishul Achar Bishul at that point...
But by Davar Lach, we assume Midr Abanan there's Bishul Achar Bishul.
Right.
So it'd be Asur Midr Abanan to take your soup that's cold and put it on a plata if it's going to reach...
Right.
Yeah, so lettuce bow.
But if it could, if you could either set it or you could...
Yes, that's the point. Let's say I could set it to 110, right?
Right.
Which is not yatzo lettuce bow.
Because I know the one that I got, the knob
falls
off.
So because it's 9 o'clock, I'm going to leave the warming drawers for Rabbi Brand. Because warming drawers, you have one other issue, which is that we point out is tocho is usher. You're allowed to put on, putting in is a little more problematic. So Rabbi Brand next week will explain. Rav Willig has a whole opinion on this. I don't think he made it into the Sefer. I think the Sefer was printed before the warming drawers became popular. But Rav Willig has a whole explanation for how the warming drawers work. So just quickly, in 1 minute, like we started with the machlokas. We showed him what's the isser of hachzara. Is it mechzikim avashel? Is it shemi achate? Well, see, lemaisa played out because you need to obviate both of those problems on some level. Then we said, when is it usser? So we pointed out, the Shulchan Aruch says, on Shabbos, like you would have thought, like Rashi. The Ramah quotes a major kula of the Ran, which is generally not accepted, though it has been accepted by different poskim throughout the generations, but generally mainstream is not accepted that just because it was on the fire when Shabbos started, doesn't mean I could put it back on later. Although he says, the minute was to migal, yesh lahachmir, and then he says, if it's possible to be machmir, one should avoid doing hachzara, putting things on the fire, in 5 minutes before Shabbos, not a Kedera Chaisa issue, he's talking about a Hachzara, a cooked item even, to reheat it. And then we said, we spoke about the Tanai Hachzara, Shemir Shabbos Chachasa lays it out, you need five, you need Daito Lahachzir. By the way, didn't mention this when we first did it, the Ber Halacha here has a little bit of a thing, so B'makom Tzorech, one can be Megil on either Daito Lahachzir, let's say I just forgot to have in mind at the time when I took it off, that I wanted to put it back, so that one can be Megil on, B'dievet, or Od B'yado. Let's say I put it on the table and I let go for a second. I just wasn't paying attention. I let go. So also, one could be making and still put it back on the fire. But for the chachila, you need Taito L'Hachzir, Od B'yado. It has to still be...
One or the other. What if you... Obviously, if you put it down, you forgot. So it's both of those.
No, because you put it down, meaning when I took it off... No, when I took it off, I had in mind that I wanted to put it back. And then I was doing this, and then my kid fell down, so I picked him up.
I think if you put it down, what if both of those are lacking?
So if both of those are lacking, that's a little more problematic. I think the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says if it's really like a bit, let's say it's like the chon's my only lunch tomorrow, and if I'm not able to put it back tomorrow, I'm not going to have lunch. So then, b'makom tzorach gadol, you could be makel even if you're lacking both of those two, because the mechaber leaves those two out. But l'chachila, you should do all five, and level one, b'di'evet, is if you're missing one of them. So we said, again, the title hachzir, od b'yado, garav fakatum, the flame should be garav fakatum. What am I missing here? Mevushal kol tzorko, and not put it on the ground, right?
I'm going to make
sense. And right, so let's be warm. We point out the Ramah with ein b'shalach harbishol, b'davar lach, midaraisa, but midarabana will be machmir. Then we said, taking things out of the fridge, so we saw a steer in Shulchan Aruch. So we saw the Prima Gadim says, it depends on what's in the pot. Is it an empty pot or a full pot? If it's a full pot, you can take it out of the fridge and put it on. If it's an empty pot, you need the Tanai Hachzara, maybe the Kedera Blech, maybe not the Kedera Blech, depends on the poskim. And then the Magen Avraham says, no, it really depends on Lach versus Yavesh, and plays out Lamaisa. We saw Rav Bullock arguing on the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa saying, Lamaisa, Platas, you don't have Mechlikim of Ashel, you don't have Shema Yechata, if it's non-adjustable. So there's no reason to take a Dabar Yavish out of the fridge and put it back on. No reason for that to be a problem. So I think that's what most people do. Willing to take Dabar Yavish out of the fridge and to heat it up on Shabbos morning. Okay, so like I said, next week, Rabbi Brand, Mr. Shem, will be doing like a overview. He'll be mashlim the areas that we didn't get to touch on tonight, but an overview of all these Dirabanans of Shehiyah, Hatmana, and Hachzara. And before that, Sunday night, as many of you are able, we have the dinner coming up. I know Rabbi Brand put it in the email, but
on that, with all the different communities that are always represented at the dinner,